College of Judaism.
And welcome.
Tonight we're going to learn two letters, the Pe and the Ayin. So we're going to first start off with the letter Pe. I want you to all take a look at that letter in front of you, the Pe, which is that one. You see, it looks like a spiral that goes from inside to outside. You see that? But if you look at the inside of the letter, at the white part, you're going to see a different letter. You're going to see this letter. Look here. Mm-hmm. And that letter is a bet. A B sound. Bet, B-E-T. But it's like an optical illusion. You can't see both at the same time. You either see the pay or you see the bet inside. What does the Zohar have to say about the letter pay? So let's open up. It says, Ribon Ha'olamim. The letter pay, Nichnisa Ot Pei Amra Lefanav. The letter pay, remember we dealt with the letter Tzadik last week? And the tzaddik tried to convince God that the world should be created through her intelligence. And God said that the tzaddik was too powerful. Its tikkun hasn't come as yet. And it should remain in its place. And it should be in hiding until the end of the tikkun, when the correction of the world comes. The pei sees that the tav now, the shin, the resh, and the kuf, and the tzaddik didn't make it. Right? Those first five letters didn't make it. And she feels that perhaps she'll be able to make it. So the pei comes before God and says, Ribon ha'olam, O Master of the Universe, Tov livro bi et ha'olam, it would be good that you, if you would create the world through me. Ki ha'ge'ula sh'ata atid la'asot po'olam rishuma vi. Because the redemption that you will bring to the world is written in me. Why? Because there is a Hebrew word called hedut. And pedut is spelled pedut, and this is the pay sound. It starts with that, and that means redemption. And by the way, in Aramaic, it would be purkana. Therefore, the pay symbolizes redemption. What does redemption mean? We've spoken about the concept of redemption many times in our courses. We spoke about it regarding the redemption of the firstborn, if you remember when we spoke about that. So what is the definition of redemption? When does a person feel that he is redeemed? Is there anyone here who feels himself redeemed? Yes, no, maybe, yeah. You should, yeah, you know. That means that everyone here feels that they're enslaved to something or other except you. Right? So what are the things to which you are enslaved and from which you wish to be redeemed? Evil speech, negative thinking, addiction, whatever it might be. You see, the moment that something is controlling me, it means that I'm enslaved to it. So it can be alcohol, it can be drugs, it could be food. And this means exile. So redemption means freedom from this sort of an addiction. Freedom is that state where nothing controls me. It is a condition where you are one with the light. So what are the things that control our lives? Fear, doubt, ego, uncertainty, other people. We all know people who really believe that all their pain is caused by other people. If I could only free myself from those people who bother me and they'll no longer have any control over me, then I'll be redeemed. So this is the word pedut, redemption. And the Zohar continues, Klomar, Shehagu'ula hi pedut mitzarenu v'hi matchelet ba'ot pei. And the redemption begins with the letter pei. It's very powerful. Because redemption brings us to a state of freedom. And if I am free, and if I am one with the light, nothing can be disconnected. And nothing can disconnect me from the light. The Alkein bi ra'ui livro et ha'olam. And that's what he says, this letter says. The world should be created with me for this reason. You see, we are all now in exile. And the moment someone doesn't feel comfortable, or the moment a person doesn't feel at home with oneself, or with his environment, or with his relationships, then he's in exile. When you feel you're at home, you don't wish to run elsewhere. You want to stay at home. Being at home means being and feeling in control. And this applies to all peoples in all places. And a Jew can live in Israel and be very well off, but doesn't feel comfortable. So then he's in exile, even though he's not in exile physically, and even though he dwells in the state of Israel, he's in exile. Look at the Israeli Yordim, those people who have left Israel. There are more Israelis who left Israel. No, there aren't anymore, but there was at one time. More Israelis who left Israel who remained in Israel. It's no accident. They want to escape from all the stress, from all the pressure that it takes to live there. The most common word for redemption in Hebrew is geula. Geula means redemption. The numerical value of geula is 45. The number 45 in Kabbalah is very important because it is the numerical value of Adam. Adam. Who was Adam? Before the sin, Adam was the epitome of redemption, right? And 45 is the same level as the Iranpin. Because if you spell out the name of God, Yud-Ke, Vav-Ke, in a certain way, because there are many ways of writing it out, then you will enter the energy or level of Siranpin. If you spell it Yud, Vav, Dalet, if you spelled it this way, Yud, Vav, Dalet, which is Yud, right? And Vav is spelled, how do they say it? Let's see. And Vav is Yud, Hey. If you did Yud and then Hey is written this way, and then Vav is written this way, and then Yud is written this way, I've got 10 and 6, 16 and 4 is 20, 5 and 1 is 6, 12, and this is 20. That's not going to be the right way to spell it. It's Vav Aleph, by the way, so that's 13. Hey spelled this way is 6. So it's 13, 6, 19 is 6, 25, and 20 is 45. And Adam, man, is 1, 4, and 40 is 45. This means that 45 is connected to Ze'ir Anpin. Now, you've got the charts in front of you, and one of those charts has the name of God. I don't know if you have it there or not. And one of them, it shows you the different ways of writing out God's name. If I can be connected to Ze'ir Anpin, which is the outer space connection, I'm redeemed because the light flows freely through my life. And the moment that I'm at one with the light, I am free because I become part of the light. Now, if you want to know what the word for exile in Hebrew is, it's very interesting because the word for redemption is geula. The word for exile is gola. Very similar, right? If you add this up, 3, 4, 6, 10, 10 and 30 is 40, 45. Same thing as here, right? Take out that one letter, it's 44, and 44 is blood, dam. It's the number of the sign of Aries also, which is ego. When a person has ego, he's in exile from the light. So the whole concept of redemption is really an internal consciousness. It's an internal concept. Because it's the changing of oneself from the inside. If you want to be redeemed, you can do it every day. And that's why God said to one of the prophets, when will redemption come? And he says, Hayom im bekolot tishmu'u. Today, if you listen to my voice. His voice. The words, God's voice, is Ze'ir Anpin. When you connect to Ze'ir Anpin, you are with him and you are redeemed. And there are many people who have moments of redemption. But the trick is to remain in this state at all times. When you are in the level of the light, you cannot be in exile. And that's why when you meditate on the letters Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Yud, Tav, Tzadi of the Ana B'Koach, that thing you showed me a moment ago, the top line of that one over there, of the Ana B'Koach, you see on the side, it's Aleph, Bet, Gimel, you see, and that's the first letters of the words on that line. You have to connect to it every moment in life where we felt redeemed, where we felt freedom. Because that's in reality, all the rest is just an illusion. You see, the problem is to maintain and retain the light at all times. Because that's the real reality. The rest is only an illusion. And you need many people to create and keep this energy going. Because when you have a great many people around you just thinking about caring and sharing for you, then you stop caring about how much you give to others. The only time you make an accounting of how much to give is when you feel you do not receive enough. But if you know that the more you give, the more you will get, then you don't care if you give everything, because the trust, you trust in the light, and you don't have to fear, and that's the real freedom, and that's real redemption. So the first thing you got to do is have people with the knowledge and then the will to inject into the world this concept of redemption. You've got to convince people that it's possible to be that way. And people will say, come on, nah, it's impossible. But you can show that it's impossible. Come on, we've been waiting for the Mashiach since the time immemorial, and still he hasn't come. And we've all these false messiahs showing up at our doorsteps from years to years to years. Come on, it's impossible. We should all know that redemption means the death of entropy. What do I mean? The death of the second law of thermodynamics, as we learned in Kabbalah. And that's why true redemption is immortality. How can a person be redeemed if he knows he's going to die? He'll always know that every day brings him one day closer to his death, to his end. That is not redemption. It's not going to be able to finish what he started. So Amar La, so God said to this letter Pei, Yafa'at, you are indeed beautiful. Avol Becha Nirsham Pesha Shebeseter. But there is also engraved in you the word Pesha, which means crime, which means sin, which means crime in hiding. Ke'en Hanachash Shemake Umevi Rosho Letoch Gufo. Because you are like the serpent who takes his head, curls it up, and hides it inside him. That's what he says to him. Just like the snake which bites and then immediately coils back into its original shape. If you look at the pay, you can see the head of the snake all curled up as if it had just sprung forth and bitten someone. So the word crime is also present in this word, pesha, peshin ayim. Kach mi shechote, and the same applies to somebody who sins. Kofef rosho, he bows his head. Klomar, that is to say, Shema'alim atzmo mi'ayin ro'eh. He hides himself so that no one can see. U'motziet yadav lachato. Most people who commit crimes just hide their deeds. They don't want anyone to know about it. Everybody tries to cover up their crimes. Now, redemption and exile are dependent upon the malchut. It's dependent upon the physicality in which we live. When redemption is not connected to the light, and when we see that redemption is a reflection of what has happened in the 99%. Now the land of Israel is Malchut, right? It's the land of Israel. But the word Yisrael is connected to Ze'ir Anpin. So when we speak about the land of Israel, it means Malchut, which is connected to Ze'ir Anpin. How do I know that? If you look at the word itself, Yisrael. Yisrael. This is the way you spell it. And Yisrael is Yashar El. Straight to God, a direct connection to God at spirituality. It's also another way of taking these letters around. You can also do this, and you'll find Li Rosh, higher, to me ahead, a higher sense of consciousness. So when the nation of Israel is in Israel, you have created a combination of Ze'ir Anpin and Malchut, which is redemption. Because there's the presence of the light, and the light is present. And as the Zohar says that the whole world is a physicality, and it's covered by a thick klipa, and within this klipa there is a crack. So think of the map of Israel, and you'll notice it's like a little skinny on the top and the bottom, a little wide in the middle, so it looks like a crack in the map. Crack in the universe. When Israel is sinning, so now as long as there's a crack, there's that connection to Ze'ir Anpin, to the outer space. But when they sin, it's like they're pulling the sides together and closing the crack and blocking out the light. That's the way the Kabbalah looks at it. Interesting. You close the connection between Ze'ir Anpin and Malchut, and you block out the energy to the world. Then the physical reaction of that is that the Jews will be thrown out of the country. Then the country is empty and there are no longer any Jews over there and there's nothing to connect to any longer. Then the lips will again open up, but because there will be no one with whom to make the connection, there will be a membrane that will cover the opening so that nobody else will make the connection. So within the pay, however, we have something else. We have that other letter. And that other letter is a bet. You know what that bet represents? redemption. But it's hidden inside the pay. You have the name of exile and redemption within the same letter. And as long as you, and bet really stands for blessing, by the way, bracha. So as long as you have this game of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right and wrong, exile and redemption playing, it means you have not done your job perfectly yet. You haven't connected permanently. And as long as it's not permanent, then the moment you forget, you fall back into the illusion, and before you know it, you lost it. And therefore, God didn't want something that was a temporary redemption with which to create the world. He wanted a real redemption all the way. That's why the temple was destroyed, and then it was rebuilt, and then it was destroyed again. And that's why they say that the third temple will be different. Im Hashem lo yivneh bayit shavav lu banav bo. If the light does not build the house, its builders will build it for naught. So we must create a situation below so that it will be built from above. That's why God could not create the world with the letter pei. So now that we understand why the letter pei could not create the world with that energy intelligence, we move on to the next letter, which is the letter ayin. So before we discuss now the taf, the shin, the resh, the kuf, the tzadik, the pei, and now the ayin. The numerical value of ayin is, anybody know?
70.
And the word ayin in Hebrew means?
Eye.
What connection does that make? The eye is connected to?
The head.
Chochmah. The eye possesses the energy of Chochmah, the sphere of Chochmah. Very high energy. It's the second energy level in the 10 sphirot. So the letter ayin comes, and it's a bit connected to the letter pei, you know, and it's holding on a little bit. Now remember when we spoke about the letter tzadi, we said that it was connected to yesod. If this is the tree of life, then we have keter, chochmah, let's write this out so we get it.
You got here, keter, chochmah, bina, chesed, gevura, tiferet, netzach, hod, yesod, malchut.
Okay, so what did we say? I don't know if we said it or we didn't say it, but you should know that you have here these letters that we went through. And we said that tzadi was connected to the letter yesod.
So the tzadi is over here. That's connected to this part. Okay? If this is the tree of life, this thing here, which is the tree of life, right? Then we have Keter, Chochmah, Bina, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, right? And Malchut. Malchut contained four letters. Which letters? Kuf, Reish, Shin, Taf.
Tzadik is connected to Yesod. And Netzach,
here, we're working our way up the sphere, is connected to the pei.
The head of the snake was inside and hiding, and so the letter ayin over here
is the sphere of hod.
Ayin. A-Y-I-N. And we know that this whole diagram here is called the tree of life. You know that. You should know that. And we have here three columns. The right column, left column, right column on this side, left column here, central column in the middle. And so the energy of the right column is Chochmah, Chesed, and Netzach, right?
This is the right column. Chochmah, Chesed, and Netzach. Left column is Bina, Gevura, and Hod. Middle column is Tiferet, Yesod, and if you're not using Keter, then there's a little thing here that's either a sphira or it isn't. That's called Da'at.
So when you have it, if you're not counting Keter, then you count Da'at. If you're counting Keter, then Da'at doesn't exist. Depends how you count the spheres. The spheres. Okay. V'chein ayin avon af al gav di amra di it bi anava im aila'a nikreit anava. The letter ayin stands for anava. He says, I stand for humility. And humility is a very good quality. And that Moses, you were told, the ish Moshe anav miod, that Moses was the most humble person who ever lived. That's what the Torah says. Because he possessed so much humility. He was connected to all of the light. By the way, who wrote that?
What's that?
Who wrote that sentence?
What sentence?
And Moses was the most humble person in all the world.
Well, yeah, Moses
wrote it.
It's kind of a contradiction.
Huh? So if I come and tell you I'm very humble,
yeah.
Yeah, what do you mean? Because we're told that when Moses wrote this down in the Torah, he had to come up with an answer, he said he didn't even know what he was writing. He didn't know he was writing about himself. That's how humble he was. He was just a channel. He was totally disconnected from the me consciousness. He was connected to the us consciousness. The aspect of caring so much for others that he was totally humble. And when someone is very humble, he's elevated to the light. And that's what the letter Ayin seemed to have been saying. Isn't this the most important thing in the world? Isn't humility the most important attribute that someone can have? When a person is humble, he's not separated from the light. Because what separates us from the light? The ego. So if I don't have an ego, then I'm humble and I can be connected to the light. I can complete my tikkun process. And so the Zohar says, Ima ila'a nikreit anava. The noda. Shebehiyot hanetzach de ze'iran pin. Shehu ayin mitlabesh ima mochin de nukva. Hi ola umitlabeshet li'ima ila'a vi'ima mekasheshet la bekishushta. So when the Netzach in Ze'ir Anpin, because we are still in Ze'ir Anpin, remember the first letters apply to Bina, all the way up the top, the second 10 are Ze'ir Anpin, and the last 4 are Malchut. The middle 10 are Ze'ir Anpin, and the Tzadi is the 9th letter of Ze'ir Anpin, number 8 is Pei, and number 7 is Ayin. Now Netzach in Ze'ir Anpin, when connected properly, is connected to the energy of Malchut. And this means that there is a union between Malchut and Ze'ir Anpin. And when the male energy force and the female energy force are together, you should remember that Netzach and Hod are male and female. Netzach is the male, Hod is the female. When they are connected, they are like Ze'ir Anpin and Malchut are connected together. And so this, on a microscopic level, is the same as Ze'ir Anpin and Malchut being connected on a grander scale. In other words, what he's saying here is when these come together, there's a connection straight to Malchut. That's basically what he's saying. There's a zivug, a union, an intercourse between the male and the female. Where there's a connection between Netzach and Hod, there's no ego. That's what he's saying. When there's no ego, there's union between the two. And where there is union, there is light, which enters from the other Sfirot. But because of Pesha, but because of Pesha, from here, this from the Pei, from Netzach, I cannot create the world with you because you're connected to the Tzad. You two are connected. So even though you are a wonderful letter, you're connected to this guy in a union. So that negativity of the Pesha is stopping it. On the one hand, you've got the Padut, the redemption. On the other hand, you've got crime. And here, Anava, humility. But you also have Avon, iniquity. And humility can become sin. And Avon is written Ayin Vav Nun. It possesses the same letters as Anav. Let me show you.
You want to say, here is Anav. That means humble. Here is Avon, which is sin. This is the same letters.
Got a problem. So I can't create the world with you. And if we remember when we did the Anabakoach, we see the first verse we try to connect to the unadulterated sequences of the light. We're trying to make that connection where everything is straight, where the energy flow is straight, where it's complete, where the light is flowing freely in. And in the second sentence, we try to eliminate the unadulterated sequences of the Satan. For what is Satan consciousness doing? It's trying to take the sequences of the light and twist them. That's why the word Pesha is the same as the word Shefa. What is Shefa? It means abundance. What is Pesha? Pesha means crime. These are the same letters. However, the sequences here mean abundance. If you transpose the sequence, you get crime. You take anav, which means humility, you mix them up, you get avon, which means sin. And that's the function of Satan. Takes things which look okay, twists them around a bit, and oops, you have something totally different. So to what is ayin connected? The ayin is connected here, if you see the difference between netzach and hod, says the Zohar, to trei palgei de gufa, to two parts of the body. This is the same expression that the Zohar uses when speaking about a man and a woman. Two halves of the same soul. So the Zohar is saying that two soulmates, two parts of the same soul of the male and the female are like two parts of the body. Because when speaking of soulmates, we're not only speaking about two halves of a soul, but also two parts of the body. Because the real body has both connected, just as Adam and Eve were connected before the sin. So we have the pei and the ayin, which are two parts of the same energy. However, one is a male, the other is a female. The male is the ayin, the female is the pei. Just the opposite. The pei is the male and the ayin is the female. So of course, if one is the male and the other is female, what's the difference between the male and the female? One is plus, one is sharing, one is minus, one is receiving. What is the difference between the energy level of the male and the female? The male is usually connected to the potential level, right? The female is more connected to the actual level. This means that when we speak about ayin in relating to the pei, we're dealing more with the seed level. Ayin is always used as elevation. The word above in Hebrew is al. It's ayin lamed. Anava, humility, begins with ayin, which is much less tangible than redemption. Avon is less a sin. A sin is less tangible than a crime. Right? A sin is less tangible than a crime. One is, you know, you didn't do something, you sinned. You know, a crime hurts someone else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sort of. I'm thinking through it.
Because a sin is something that is done in thought level. Avon is a sin. This is something that is done in our thinking. Pesha is a crime. It's actual. So the ayin is the elevation. It's beyond and above. Avon, which means sin, is on the level of thinking, the level of desire. It's the level where no one can see. You see, it also applies to the evil eye. It's that area which is intangible. And humility is not a tangible attribute. You can feel it, but it's not something you can touch. You cannot control the look, but you can control the words. So the ayin is also connected to wisdom also. And we find that in Shema Yisrael, when we say the hero Israel, that letter Shema, the first letter, has a big ayin at the end of it. And here the ayin brings all the energy from Binah, and it's guarded in the ayin, and it shares with the Zilanpin, and it shares with Malchut. Therefore, when we recite the Shema Yisrael, the ayin in that area where we tap into the power of Binah, that ayin is much, much bigger. And when we end with Echad, the Dalet there is very big. And ayin in Dalet is witness, aid. What you're doing when you say the Shema Yisrael, you're witnessing to the fact that there is one God in the world. And not more. And why do we recite the Shema? To bring light into the body. To bring unity into the cosmos. To bring unity into the quantum. I also said that Ayin was connected to Chochmah. It's also intangible up here, wisdom. Because there's a difference between wisdom and being smart. I know a lot of smart people who are not wise. In Hebrew, there's a saying that a wise person would not enter areas where a smart person can escape. A wise person will not enter areas where a smart person can escape. And that's why when we speak about Netzach and Hod, we're told that they are connected to the legs. Usually prophecy stems from Netzach and Hod of Zeir Anpin. What is prophecy? Prophecy occurs when a person is connected. And we're told that when the prophets received their visions, they fell on their faces. Why? They could not stand. They were overloading of energy from the knees, the Netzach and the Hod. And they could not stand, and therefore they had to fall to the ground. That's Netzach and Hod. And we're also told in Vayetze, by the way, in the portion of Vayetze, in the Zohar, it talks about dreams. And it says, dreams the vision of dreams in prophecy connects to Netzach and Hod. But prophecy is not wisdom. It's a vision. One sees a big pot, another sees a plumb line. We're told that Chacham Gadol Minavi, a wise person, is greater than a prophet. You know why? Because, as we said, Ezehu Chacham Aroe Et Hanolad. Who is the wise person? He who can see the consequences of his actions. So all the prophets, although they might have been connected to higher levels of spirituality, yet they not necessarily had to be wise. Wisdom means the truth. Wisdom means seeing the whole picture. A wise person is objective. How can we be objective? Because he possesses humility. Therefore, what we're saying is that one cannot really be wise unless he is humble. Ezehu chacham halomed mikol adam. Who is the wise man, says the Ethics of the Fathers? He who can learn from every man. In order to be open enough to be able to learn from every person, you got to be humble. Otherwise, you'll not have wisdom. You can't have a truly wise person who's filled with ego. Doesn't mix, doesn't compute. It's like a tall, short person. Doesn't make sense. And let's not forget that the letter Ayin is also connected to the planet Saturn, as we learned in astrology when we took that course. Saturn controls wisdom. Saturn is connected to the wisdom of this universe. Saturn doesn't like anything physical. It only likes spiritual ideas. That's why we know that on Shabbat, Saturn rules. And that's why on Saturday, Shabbat. Therefore, we know that whatever a person does physically on Shabbat, Saturn will make sure it will be ruined. That's spoken as a good rabbi, right? And that's why working on Shabbat or making money on Shabbat isn't worth it, because whatever you make on Shabbat will be destroyed by Saturn. That's the concept, anyway. Saturn doesn't like anything that is on the manifestation level, only things which are in a thought process. Working on Shabbat is not something you do against God, it's just not practical. Because we know that sooner or later, the Ayin of Saturn will destroy it. So why waste your energy? Shabbat is for meditation, Shabbat is for study, it's for connecting to energy. This Saturn will help you on that. And that's why it's very interesting that we know that Saturn is connected to wisdom, and it's also the ruling planet of the Jewish people, by the way. And that's why the Jews are always in trouble. Because the moment they turn things into physicality, when they become over materialistic, along comes Saturn and beats them up. And remember that Saturn is the seventh planet. It is exactly the opposite of Malchut. Malchut is the seventh sphira from Chesed. So it's the mirror image. And when Malchut restricts all seven levels, where does it go? Where does it end up? To the highest. When Yesod restricts all levels, then it all goes down six. And then six up. Hod can go five down. The other one can go down four and up. But when you're restricting, you're coming, making yourself shorter. If this one restricts, you go down one, two, and then you start going back up. It's like you go into a tube and you come up, you know. Okay. So how much can you restrict? As much as you want. And so one has a small desire to receive, can push small. One has a larger desire to receive, can push big. People are connected, who are connected to Jupiter are very, very lucky. They have easy life, expansion. Therefore, they're not too smart. It's too easy for them. Even when it's not easy for them, it will be too difficult. Then they just, not too difficult for them. Saturn is harsh, it's violent, it's hard work. That's why people who are affected by Saturn, their lives are harder and they have to work harder. So remember, wisdom is above prophecy. You have to work very, very hard. Okay. And because of all these things, God said, listen here, folks, I want you to know, you cannot be created with your energy intelligence, because not only do you have all those things turning around in you, you know, you've got anav, which is humility, which is avon, you've got all those different words, that those concepts that can be switched around by Satan consciousness, you are also connected to the pei, which is also pesha, which is crime. So Ayin just turned around, put its tail between its feet, and went back into its place. And next week we will talk about Samach and Nun. We'll take two next week.